All right, it's time for the Cougar Cuties.
No, it's not time for the Cougar Cuties. It's time for the Entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, where, what is it, a couple of old guys talk Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective. I'm your host with the jokes, Dobber, from the class of 1994 and from the class of 1998. He's the analyst with the attention to detail, my brother, Sammy D. Welcome in, Sammy D.
What up, Dobber? So excited to be here after a great win, after a fun week of regular season Rambler basketball. We're in the throes of the season. Love it. Love the fact that we have a game on Tuesday, game on Saturday. Oh, man. Woo! This is the life.
Yeah, I mean, this is why, guys, we don't do podcasts in the summer. There's nothing to talk about. But when you got real basketball games, when the lights are on, when you see who's showing up and who's showing out, that's when you want to talk about it. And that's what we're going to do today. And we're going to dig right in. We're not going to spend a lot of time with what did Dobber do over the summer and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to talk because you came for Loyola Ramblers basketball talk, and we're going to do it right now on the number one podcast in the Atlantic 10, as voted on by Matt and Sammy.
Sammy D and
Dobber. Yes. And so we're going to talk about EIU, Eastern Illinois University, and FAU, Florida Atlantic University. We're going to talk about these two games together. We're going to kind of combine them together like one big 1 week of play.
Yes.
And so just if anyone's been in a hole for the last couple days, on Wednesday this past week, we lost 75-62 to FAU, the Owls, coming off their Final Four run, first game of the season. And then on Saturday this week, EIU came into town, Eastern Illinois University. What's their mascot? I don't even, is it a wolf or?
I think they're the Panthers.
A Panther.
EIU? Yeah.
Panthers, the EIU Panthers, of course, alma mater of Tony Romo. Little fun fact.
And Sean Payton.
And
Sean Payton, yeah.
Sean Payton and Mike Shanahan.
Yes.
And Yurko, or not Yurko.
Yeah, Yurko.
Yurko, yeah. I forget what his name is.
Whatever. Yeah.
Was it Yurko or? Yurkovich. Yeah. All right. Okay. We've gotten off track already. Wow. I thought I was focusing us, and I got us off track already. So we took the Panthers to the woodshed and won 89-65. Pretty, I think they had a 2-point lead in the first minute, and then that was the end. Yes. I don't think they led the rest of the game. So Sammy D, in a few minutes, tell us about three things you saw this week in Loyola basketball. What did you see in these two games?
All right, number one, this is what I always have said is my desire for Loyola basketball, is that we belong on the court. And it was definitely apparent against FAU, not to be confused with FIU, but FAU with the Owls, that, yeah, we belong on the court. We were sloppy, yes. We did not take care of the ball at times, yes. But we belonged on the court. We belonged at that invitational. This is not last year, although that was the thread on Twitter during the game that, oh my gosh, here we go again. It's like, no, this is not that team. This is completely, we belong on the court. And then couple that with the Eastern Illinois game, it really showed our athleticism up and down the court, height, length, on the defensive side, offensive side. The only reason that game was even as close as the score showed at the end was because the five starters were sitting at the 10-minute mark left in the game and was like, hey, they went on like a 22-3 run at the end because we literally had the bottom of the roster out. And not to disparage them, but just to say, hey, they they wanted to get some redemption, and our team was like, hey, yeah, go ahead, shoot all you want. And then they did, and they just hit some homes. And then the third thing is the athleticism really stood out for both games. Is that, you know, as I said, we belonged on the court, but that the athleticism really showed out, especially with Mwamba, with Des Watson, is like, I think that was the thing.
Miles Rubin.
Oh my gosh. Was that last year you had Phil and he had flashes of brilliance with Benny. But then there wasn't the consistency you had with Marquise because he was injured.
St. Thomas.
And so there was Phil, and that was about it. Whereas this year,
Schweiger.
Schweiger stepped up. But yeah. it wasn't consistent. There were games where all of a sudden he was like, what happened to him? But then there are flashes of brilliance, like I said, but it was a consistent brilliance. And whereas it seems like with these guys, their infusion of talent and athleticism and length is bringing that to every game moving forward. And that is encouraging.
And I'm going to piggyback on this too. The athleticism, it's not that Norris and Welch aren't athletic, but I feel like even because there's these other pieces that are contributing that other teams have to take account for, all of a sudden Norris is freed up to take some shots. We saw this in the Trinity game, but he also made some shots in each of these two games this week. The little Welch give and go, or whatever that play is called, where
the Spanish fly,
the Spanish fly trap, whatever it is. We've never heard an actual play call for it, but it worked perfect against EIU. And that might not work against Dayton. That might not work against some of the very athletic A-10 teams, but boy, I bet you that play is going to work again this year. Especially if defenders are having to go out and cover Des Watson and they're worried about Phillip Alston, and all of a sudden, Welch and Norris are doing the little hokey doke, or what is it called? Rope-a-dope?
Hokey-doke.
I don't know, whatever that play is. That's a play of familiarity, and I think it's a play that's going to be able to be run a lot this year.
Exactly. And then my final point of the three things that I saw is roles. We have struggled this last year, and even maybe in the year before that, is like, what's my role? Because this is a team game, and we are not at the point where we have superstars who can ride and they just take over the game. That's fine. I don't want that. That's superstar ball. I don't want that. But what I love having is a roles. I know my role and I can do it well. I really, looking back now at last year, everybody was out of sync because nobody had a clear defined role. And if the role was given to them was, I think, too much at times.
Well, I think Norris had the most defined role last year.
He had a defined role, but I think the problem was that there was too much asked of him. Moving up into the A-10, where you had these guys much quicker guards in the Valley, and all of a sudden you had him like shouldering something. It was like, this is too much. Whereas this year, at least the limited size, and the FAU, even just seeing that, where, and then EIU, I like to see the points of it, but like where you had Dolan bringing the ball up or Dez bring the ball up, and you had these moments, or even Jay Quinn. And so you had these moments of like, hey, it release the pressure off of Norris. He could go in the corner. He could kind of scoot around a pick or whatever. All of a sudden, he's open for three. And it goes back to the fact that when we loved him when we went to the Sweet 16, when we went to the into the tournament again the following year, was he was hitting from 40% from three. That's the guy we all loved. Last year was like, oh, why isn't he hitting? It's because he's lifting in 10 other areas. But now he goes back to, hey, this is what I really do well. I shoot really well. I'm a bulldog defender at times. And I'm just like, hey, I was like, and I began to see like, hey, this is what he can do. And he can do it well because of his role. And I just saw that with others as well, because, you know, you're not asking Tom again, for the EIU game was a perfect example. You're not asking Tom to play 30 minutes a game. Hey, we want you to come in for 10 minutes, wreak havoc for 10 minutes, go crazy, and, you know, get a couple rebounds, couple flash, couple, you know, monster dunk, you know, poster dunk, you know, do the Spanish fly trap. And all of a sudden, before you know it, hey, everyone's going crazy, wave the towel. And it's like, hey, that's a win. And roles, you begin to see that in defined roles and like, hey, this is this little moment here. You saw a Dame in the EIU game. And it's just like, it's so exciting to see. Now, there were still mistakes. There's still things to get ironed out, but these are the games in which to do it. You know, EIU, UIC coming up, New Orleans. It's just like, hey, let's iron out those roles and for Atlantic 10 time, which I want to talk about later, but I want to get back to you.
All right. Well, great. I think you when I asked you for three things, you gave me seven. So we're off to
three. I just talked well.
We're off to a big old start. Hey, let's get into it. Let's just give away some awards right away.
Let's do it.
JB Alberto's a giant play of the game. We're going to give one out for this week. And I was at the building Wintrust Arena when Patrick Muamba hit a three to bring us within seven in the second half after, you know, it looked like we were out for good. We weren't going to get back in that game. We got it to within seven. And boy, if just a couple of things would have gone a different way, we might have gotten a little closer. There were just a couple of maybe mistakes. There were a couple of swings where, you know, we gave up the ball and then they scored and it was just
penalty.
Yeah, we could have, it just felt like we were, you know, a couple buckets away from just really putting it to them. And I felt like when our crowd came alive, it was a harder game for them. I mean, I know at the end of the game, the score didn't reflect it as much, but there was a point in that game where our crowd got crazy and they looked a little rattled. And our team was, I mean, Muamba, especially his energy level was pretty nuts. And it was fun to watch. You talk about belonging on the floor. They definitely looked like they belonged on the floor. Now, I will say that Vlad Golden kid, is it Golden?
He's good.
I was calling him Vlad goaltending, but because I felt like he was goaltending all the time. But
well, when you're 7 foot, you kind of have that.
But that was a very difficult cover, and then, you know, those guys were what were they shooting from three? They were pretty lights out. I guess it doesn't matter. But what was their three from three? 50% from three. Ow.
That's pretty good.
50%. Ow. That's tough to beat. That is really tough to beat. But anyway, Patrick Muamba's three against FAU is definitely just the best shot I saw this week in just terms of energy and at a big moment. And it bodes well. It bodes well for when we get into these tight games with these A-10 opponents. Great scheduling of that game. I mean, I'm not sure what went into getting into that game, but boy, talk about a team that's probably better than any A-10 team. Or at least the best team we'll face before the A-10, other than maybe Creighton.
Creighton will definitely be the best team.
What a great early game to just even just run and take some shots. And boy, they just, you know, it very quickly they were having, you know, they were getting into us. Who am I thinking of? I know we're giving away awards here, but Greg Dolan, for example, that team was tough for Greg Dolan. I mean, his style of bringing the ball up and stuff, they were doing the thing that happened to us last year. They were putting the press on pretty early, and that caused problems of us getting into our offense. And so I think I think, you know, it was a great test.
But it was a great test. And I think without a doubt, they will be the best team we'll face. Either them or Creighton will be the best teams we'll face all year. I don't think anyone else in the A-10 will be anywhere near to them. But they're definitely will be the two best teams. But the thing I take away from that game, and this goes to Mwamba's, you know, three, and just like, hey, there was some flashes like, hey, yeah, you know, we ironed some things out. We can make this a game. It was a lopsided, you know, 13, lost by 13. But hey, it was 32-32 in the first half. And so it's like we played well in the second half and brought it where it was like, hey, we brought it back to a game, and you know, they kind of pushed it out and we closed it at the end. And so kudos to Matt, you know, to Mwamba, to Patty, for winning the first JB Alberto's play of the game.
Yeah, and just to kind of piggyback on that too, I saw some of those, you know, I had a season ticket last year, and I saw a lot of those games where we were sort of competitive in the first half. We maybe looked a step slower than some of those A-10 opponents, and then in the second half, they just put the foot on our neck, and all of a sudden, we're down by 20. And this FAU game in the second half didn't quite feel like that. It felt like we were still in it, and making quality shots and having some runs, and you know, it was kind of, there was a couple of moments where it felt like this feels different than last year.
But to that, in the second, just looking quite just real quickly at the stats from shooting, they shot 50% from the field goals overall in the first half and 50 from three. The second half, they shot 41% and only 11, they hit 1 of 9 from three in the second half. That's a testament to, hey, our defense got better. And so it's like, hey, they, you know, we played much better in the second half, and that showed. First half, there was
crazy stat in that game. We outscored them in the paint.
I still don't understand.
How that happened. All right, let's give another award out here. The Hammerhaws play for heart, or not play, the Hammerhaws Award for heart and hustle.
Okay. And muscle.
And we usually give this to a guy off the bench. It would have been easy to give it to Mwamba, maybe. But I'm going to give it to a guy that is still sort of untested. We have only seen a couple of games in a Rambler uniform, and it's Miles Rubin.
And oh, I know which one you're, I know what play you're talking about to just epitomize.
I mean, the play was in the EIU game, and this isn't, we give this award for like total effort, but,
right.
But he dives on the ball, he dives on the floor for a loose ball.
Dove on the floor.
And gets it from,
floor burn.
Gets it from two Panthers and passes it to Mwamba. Mwamba goes to the basket and gets intentionally fouled. Like, I mean, it was a pretty, it was a great get on the floor. And it just makes you feel like, hey, there's something here. And I also saw him hustling, getting some blocks, just rebounds. I think that's what we want from him. He's definitely just clogging some stuff up in the middle. And when we play smaller teams, I think he's really going to have great games.
Yeah. I just, when he jumped on the floor, the guys from NBC Sports Chicago, you know, called it out right away. Like, that's what you want to see from your prized recruit, is him jumping on the floor. That, you know, speaks to culture, you know. But just of like, no, I was like, it spoke to the fact that he's a dog, wants to get after it. And I love when guys can get on the floor, get the floor burn, and to really, you know, to spark the offense. And then to see Mwamba, you know, really kind of go at, you know, take the ball from that and then go at the defender to draw the foul. I mean, that was just, it was really exciting because it's like a defense. It was on the defensive side, but a 50-50 ball leading to offense. That's Rambler basketball.
Well, I'd love to ask a question that's unrelated to gameplay. But it was something that came up on Twitter this week. Was participating in the Barstool Sports Invitational a good thing? And I'd love to give my take being at the game.
Yeah, first. I would like to hear that because I'd like to give my take from watching it on BarstoolSports.com.
It was a very weird atmosphere. There was plenty of Rambler fans, and they had a great showing of the Band of Wolves and the Wolf Pack. So that was really cool. So having it in our town and having being able to go down to Wintrust Arena, where we outdrew the DePaul Blue Demons who played the night before to 900 people, it was cool to see more than 900 Loyola fans at that game. So it was pretty cool to see that. But one thing I noticed right away is there was a lot of the best way I can describe it is in the 90s, you used to go down to Wrigleyville and there would be these guys walking around in white caps and we called them white hats. And a lot of times they would unironically, or maybe it was ironic, I don't know, they'd have like South Carolina Gamecocks hats because it just said Cox on it. And they'd wear these hats and it's like, hey, not everyone, I don't think anyone here went to South Carolina. I think they're wearing these.
Nobody did.
Because it says the word Cox on it. And it was kind of like.
And it was, white hat was like the big giant sweatband because you wear it all the time. And it's big down.
Yeah, it just, you know, and I just remember that kind of bro culture. When I walked around Barstool Sports, I just saw all these guys, maybe like late 20s, early 30s, kind of all with their bros walking around. And they did this thing. They did like a kiss cam at the Barstool game where instead of the kiss cam, you had to chug your beer. And I just was like, really? And I haven't followed this Dave Portnoy and the Barstool gang and all that stuff. But, you know, I know that they're kind of a little, I don't know, for lack of a better word, a little sexist, a little, you know, kind of
misogynistic.
But also I think a little on the white, you know, kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say racist, but just kind of biased a little bit. Just a little, I don't know, just, it was just weird. And so, and then, and not to mention that they had a big stake in gambling. They sold their gambling operation, or they got the gambling operation got sold up. But of course, they're still really into gambling too. And you know, you and me, we love sports gambling and college basketball. Nothing goes better than those two things. So
I got the over. I got the over. Yeah. Come on, Mwamba, hit it.
Yeah. So it was just like so. I kind of felt like I wish this was another organization that was hosting this thing. Do I think it was good? I think the exposure is good. I think putting us on a court with a Final Four team is great. These little invitationals, this is how we're going to get better games because people are not going to want to come to, especially if we get back into our groove, people aren't going to want to come to Rogers Park and play us.
No,
you know, these big teams like Marquette and people have this dream of Oklahoma coming and Porter coming home. It's never going to happen. Are you kidding me? No way. We can't even get DePaul and Northwestern to play us. DePaul's a dumpster fire and they won't play us. You know, it's like they're still too good to play us, you know, so it's like. This is the only way we're going to get some of these games.
Without a doubt.
And so I guess it's nice to be invited. I just wish these, you know, it's like, it was like a bad Jackass episode. Remember that show on MTV?
Yeah.
It's like, it kind of feels like, why do we have to be at the Jackass Invitational? Can't we just be at like a normal Invitational?
No. Okay. All right. I got to chime in here with the take from watching it on TV it was YouTube, the Barstool YouTube feed. Oh my gosh. It was unbearable. I had to turn on the volume And then I was actually watching a couple portions of it with my wife, Julie, and she has a, she calls it I'll use the word a douchebag, you know, alarm go off. And she's like, what the hell is that? She was just like, oh my God, these guys are. And the thing that really got, it just really irked me was, one, of course, every moment was, oh, I got the over on this, you know, and I got the, you know, I they need to get a bucket because I need to get the, and I'm just like,
foul.
Like, what are we doing? Why? I'm just like, oh my gosh. No, but that was one. Two was Portnoy evidently went to Michigan and is a UM guy. So he's already a douchebag for that. But the thing that really irked me was that the announcer guy was a legit guy. You know, he was trying to, you know, do the thing that all announcers do. Hey, this is what Loyola is. You know, Sister Jean, she's over there. Oh, wait, we had to show her out, you know, at the Final Four. Because he kept bringing up Michigan's, you know, beating Loyola back at the Final Four in 2018. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, and it wasn't like just one time, aha, that's funny. It was every time. So, of course, every time Sister Jean, you know, got shown or discussed or throughout the game, because, you know, these two Final Four teams from the last 5 years, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he would evidently just bring in, you know, the Michigan thing. Michigan's not even anywhere near this. And yet he kept inserting that in there. It was just like, this is not the narrative of the game, but you keep inserting yourself. And I'm like, well, hey, it's his money. You know, he's the boss. He wants to be chief douchebag. Go for it. You know, but I'm like, I finally was like, I got to turn the volume down. And I watched it with no sound whatsoever. And if I had enough sense, I would have turned on the radio, but I just was, by that point, I was so annoyed. But it was just like, it was infuriating. And I was like, this, hopefully this is not, the stain of this doesn't, you know, stick to us.
I can't figure out the economics, because they're not on they weren't on real TV.
No, they're on YouTube.
It looked like an expensive operation to have all this stuff that they did. I can't imagine they made a lot of money. I can't imagine they made money at all on this thing. So I don't know. I just
kind of wonder if it was something before the sale of their
the casino, or before they bought the arm. Before they bought the thing back for a dollar or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I was wondering that they had this thing up, and so they were going to hope this was going to, you know, continue, because this is the second one. And so they were like, hey, we still got to honor this thing, but we're never going to do it again because we're going
to
lose money.
I could definitely see that, because it looked like a money loser to me. Like, I just, because, you know, Wind Trust Arena, I mean, it can't be cheap to put an event on there, even if they I don't know, the whole thing.
The commercials that they had, there weren't really any commercials to speak of.
So I don't know how they made money. I don't know how they made money. And so I wish that it was a different organization. I wish it was a little different, but it did get a lot of press and hopefully, yeah, there's no, I don't think it's going to stick to us, and it is good to have this on our resume. So, all right, let's get to the next question. And I want you to tackle this one. Where's Ben Schwager?
I this goes back to my discussion of rules. I saw this on Twitter. The thread was, hey, he was A-10, you know, A-10 all freshman team last year. Why isn't he getting minutes? And my thought is, in the broadcast talked about, you know, I feel bad because I don't remember their names, and they're there every Rambler game. But he talked about, you know, that Drew had some, you know, tough discussions with players in the offseason. And they're like, I kind of wonder if Ben was one of those guys. And I think it may have been, you know, where, you know, just of the maturity and the defense and the, you know, the flashes of brilliance, but not the consistent brilliance. You know, like, hey, just took a step back. And I think what many people forget is Ben is a redshirt sophomore. So he still has this season as well as two more after this, where it was discussed with him as like, hey, we're going to bring in these guys who are going to bridge the athletic, you know, fill so we can be more competitive until Ben, you can get into a proper role. I'm only conjecturing that one, but I don't know. But that's my thought is, you know, hey, you bring in Des Watson, Dame, Mwamba, Miles Rubin, Greg Dolan. It's like he, from what I saw of him last year and the limited times that I've seen so far, he's not as good as those guys. And so he just kind of gets put a little back down the order. And, you know, you're going to have to prove that you can be on the court. And if you can't do that in practice, then you're not going to see the court. I feel bad. But again, it goes back to last year was he was put into a role that I don't think was a fair assessment of who he was or just the, you know, cause like, hey, there's a lot of asked of him and he was admirable in what he did. But in the reality of like to where we want to go, we can't, that's what his play at this moment, this juncture is not going to provide that. And so he's going to have to ride the bench a little bit more. I know that's not good because, hey, he's done so much for us. I don't care. Last year was last year. We won three games in the A-10. That's not going to fly this year. If you can prove that you can play in this league, then you can play. But I think his contributions this year will be, you know, in practice as well as in those moments where I know we're going to see injuries. We've already started to see Jaden went down already with an MCL. And I think in the weeks to come, there's going to be some injury and he's going to have to step up. And in those moments, we know that he will be consistent moving forward.
Yeah. And it could have just been that there's minutes that are going to other guys now. And he's just not where a Des Watson is. And it makes sense. I mean, some of these guys have been playing, I mean, or even Dame or Patrick Mwamba, these guys have been playing three more years than him or two more years than him. And they have different, you know, their size differences and stuff. I will say I did wonder last year when Huddy was kind of in the defensive doghouse or whatever it was, right. I wondered if we're going to see a repeat of that. I don't think so. I think that from my vantage point, Schweiger is coachable. And I think that I saw improvement last year defensively.
Yes.
So I think that this can only be good, this competition. As long as he keeps his head in the game and is all in, you know, we don't have a St. Thomas situation or something like that, I think it could be a good thing. Raise the level of everybody.
Him, because let's be honest, we are not at the point of Loyola where you got a guy who's going to play in his sophomore year and go to the pros. No, we're getting guys that are going to play all 4 years. And I think if he recognizes, hey, okay, I may not be that great this year. I played a lot my redshirt freshman year. Okay. But I still have areas to improve on. If I can improve upon that this year, then I have junior and senior years to really show out. Okay, that's 2 years. That's awesome. That's exciting. And this idea, it's like, you know, like we have to have right now. It's like, no, he's still developing. There's still, you know, points of his, like he took a shot the other day against EIU, which I, at the moment he took it. Okay, I understood it. But the look of it was just kind of like, we're still going to work on the 3-point shooting because it clanked off. You know, it's like, okay. And it's like, yeah, he still needs to improve. That's not a bad thing. You still need 14, 15 guys on a roster that are all improving, that are all moving towards, hey, we're all going to improve together. And you can't just have 7 or 8 guys who are only going to play and that's all we're going to focus on. No, they've always said it. You know, Loyola has always taken pride in the gold team. You know, the team is that, you know, scouts the other team and then, you know, plays against the starters to get them ready for the game. It's like So then it's like, hey, you can prove yourself on that team and do well and improve. It's like, hey, you still have years to go. And to be able to go to someplace else, I think next year, the reality of like, hey, Dame.
Well, right. We've Nolan, said this last week.
Guys are, they're all going to leave. Well, who's going to play? Well, then that's where Swire can say, hey, I know next year, that's going to be my year.
Yeah. So like, I think we've determined that we are obviously Dame's not coming back. Greg Dolan's not coming back. Welch is not coming back. Norris is not coming back. Patrick Mwamba is not coming back. That's five right there. And then Phil is not coming back. I missed it.
You put it out there on Twitter. And
well, I said that I read on one of the stat websites that he had redshirted his sophomore year, but the reality was the school he played at canceled their whole season that year.
Right.
But that happened to the Ivies too. And if we remember Schwieger and Night Train, couldn't play another season. I think it has to do with scholarship, and it has to do with they had an academic year that year. They just didn't play basketball. So I think he had an academic year that year, but didn't play basketball. So I think he is done this year. I don't think there's any more eligibility. When he signed last year, they said he had 2 years of eligibility. So that was last year and this year. When he signed on the same week as Sheldon Edwards, he had three more years of eligibility. So he had last year, this year, and next year. So we do get Sheldon back next year if he wants to come back.
Right.
So you could have a Sheldon, you could have Schweiger, Miles Rubin. That's kind of, you know, Jaden, Jay Quinn. Those are the guys who are going to be
Lewis.
Trey Lewis. Yep. Those are going to be the guys who are here next year. So
the incoming freshmen.
So yeah, let's hope that this year he learns a lot. There's growth. There's spots where he can get great minutes and stuff, and still stay within the process, stay within the program. That's what I would love to see, because we're fans. We're fans of him. And you know, he cut the mullet. It looks like he got a little bit of a haircut, which I
was a little disappointed by that.
I thought he should have gone all mullet.
I agree.
So. All right, let's go to another couple of questions here. Sam, we're going to go a little faster here on these. Yes. I know we haven't done podcasts all summer, so we got a lot to talk about. It's a little question I call "Who you got?" All right. Which new Rambler will make the most impact this year based on what you saw this week? Which new Rambler will make the most impact?
I'm going to go with Des Watson. I think what he brings to the table of he showed it at EIU was an outside shot, but then also the athleticism to get above the rim and go to the hoop. That was like, because he provided another option other than Phil as that only guy who could do that. And so if he took a step, you know, from his where he averaged at Davidson 9+ points a game in his minutes there, and then bringing that to here where it's potentially, you know, could be more than that. That's exciting. Cause that's a league that's like, hey, we're in that league where we struggled, and here's a guy who had success and is now even built upon that.
Okay.
Des Watson is my choice.
Des Watson. I like that choice. I like that choice. And when I think about this year, I could see Miles obviously contributing. And I could see maybe one of these other guys, Dolan, Mwamba, kind of add something. But I think you're right. This is the guy we, you know, stole from another A-10 competitor. And he must have a little bit of, there must be a little energy for him to really want to come here and do well. He wouldn't have left Davidson if there wasn't an issue, like in terms of either getting an opportunity. So I think he really wants this. So I agree. I think that's a good choice. Okay. Here's another question. Now, I'm one of these guys, you know me, when someone leaves our program, they're dead to me.
You're dead to me.
They're dead to me. Same with the Bears, too. When Jim McMahon went and played for the Packers, I wasn't going, hey, guys, Jim's starting this week. You know, it's like they're dead to me, right? I don't care if I love Jim McMahon. When he plays for the Packers, I don't love him anymore. So you will never see the Two Ramblers Twitter handle talking about Jacob Huddy or T.Y. I want to say T.Y. Hilton, but it's T.Y. What was his name? T.Y. Johnson. T.Y. Hilton was a football player.
Yes.
You will not see. Not that I wish them ill.
No.
Marquise.
No, we do not wish them ill.
I don't wish them ill. I personally, though, it's Rambler or nothing. Okay. So with that being said, though, Sam, which former Rambler who hit the portal will make the most impact on his team this year? And I have a couple of names for you to consider.
Okay, Jacob. Good. I love multiple choice.
Jacob Huddy at NIU. Yep.
Yeah. Yes, Northern Illinois. Northern.
What I say?
Northern Iowa. Yeah.
Northern Iowa University.
University of Northern Iowa.
I'm sorry. UNI. My bad. Then we got T.Y. Johnson at Davis still.
UC Davis.
And we have Marquise at UIC.
Yeah.
And Paxson Wojcik starting for North Carolina.
Is he seriously starting?
He started one game. I don't know if that's a whole season thing, but it said he started.
Oh my gosh.
Did he?
Look it up. Give me a little more fluffer or filler.
Filler. Okay. All right.
Who are some other guys who you're thinking?
Oh well, then we got St. Thomas at
St. Thomas
Northern Colorado.
He's at St. Thomas.
No, he's not. He's not at St. Thomas. I thought it would be funny if he went to St. Thomas. He went to a Colorado school, Northern Colorado. Really?
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. Have you confirmed Paxson Wojcik's starting? Did I get it wrong? I mean, I could have got it wrong. I'm not an analyst with attention to detail.
Why can I not find what I'm looking for? Oh, here we go. North Carolina, they just played. Full box score yet. No, that's Lehigh. Yeah, he started. He played 12 minutes, though. So
okay,
but still, a start is a start for P-Dub.
All right, so who you got, Sammy D?
I have to admit, I looked up. I saw that Northern Iowa was playing the other day, and I looked them up, the box score, and saw that Huddy was playing. He played like 33 minutes in their. They had a short a loss the other day. So I'm going to go Hudson. I thought he felt the brunt of the switch to the A-10 because he really truly is a Missouri Valley center. You know, a big body who could bang down low and then also once in a while get out top and pop the three. But he's not a fast five. And I felt like he really, you know, he was in the doghouse to extent. And so I always thought I really liked the way he played and just his energy. And so I'm going to go Hudson. I think I really liked his story, how he came out of nowhere, really. He was wasn't a scholarship player to begin with and then became a scholarship player and then played big minutes for when our Sweet 16 team and then, you know, had really a good game against Illinois in spelling Krutwig. And then, I thought unfairly after Krutwig left, a lot of pressure went on to him and Tom. You know, it's like, hey, they got to fill the shoes of Krutwig, and they were not the same players. And so I felt like he then felt or a lot of the blame, you know, for that fall off. And I thought that was unfair. So I'm gonna go with Hudson.
Okay. Well, I think that was probably the consensus of the Loyola fans. By the way, I did confirm St. Thomas is a member of the Northern Colorado Bears. The Northern Colorado Bears. And
I realized after I said it, I was like, yeah, I think it is Northern.
And Colorado, I don't think they've played a game yet. It looks like their first game might be tomorrow against a good opponent. Colorado looks like Colorado State.
Colorado Mining and
no, Colorado State. Oh, no, wait, they did have a game already. Wait, let's see. What do we got here? They have, they beat Colorado College. And they beat Northern New Mexico. And I don't have the box score here to see if Saint started. Let's look. Let's see. Where is he?
Yeah, they're 2-0.
I don't see him on the box score. Oh no, he is on the box score. 3-for-8. In his first game, 3-for-8. So, okay. All right. We've exhausted that topic. And all right, let's go to a real controversial topic. $11 beers at the Genteel Center.
Yes.
Because
save your pennies.
Yes. Because we do not have a great pregame environment. We don't have great bars. We don't have a great, you know, we don't have a consistent pub that's open for pre and post game. Yes. The $11 beer at the Genteel is a real kick in the nads. Like it's kind of kicking the natty light. It's just kind of like, gosh, couldn't they just give us like a six?
There's your title for tonight's episode.
Couldn't they give us like
the natty light?
Yeah. Couldn't they give us like a $6 beer or even an $8 beer? Does it have to be 11?
No, this is totally third party. Loyola doesn't have anything to say about this.
Yeah.
And this is where they get screwed because it's like the third party says, hey, we're going to gouge this because it's, you know,
right.
They recognize, hey, there's no place else to go. So we're going to charge $11 for a Bud Light.
Yeah. And, you know, I get it. I get the market because when I went to that Barstool Sports thing at Wintrust Arena, I want to ask you a question. I asked Uncle Jeffy this and he was way off. Here's what I ordered: 2 Miller Lights and a popcorn. Can you tell me how much that costs? And I'm going to get the sample ready for the right or wrong. Tell me how much that costs.
2 Miller Lights. Were they 16?
They were 16-ounce cans, 2 Miller Lights, 1 popcorn. What was my total?
$28.50.
$35, baby.
Wow.
$35. That was at Wintrust. Hold on. My parking. I used Spot Hero for parking. My parking was $4. And that tells you the neighborhood, like $4 parking. And $35 though for 2 beers and 1 popcorn. Now I'm not one of these old guys.
I can't even do the math. How much was the beer?
I don't even know. I think it must have been like 14, 14 and 5 or something like that plus tax or wow. Yeah. I mean, it was nuts. So yikes. For Miller Lite and I guess if you got a Revolution, they charged you a dollar more.
I mean, this goes back to my movie theater days. I'm not surprised by concession prices. You know, that's how, you know, movie theaters, live venues, that's how they make their money. They don't make it on tickets. They make it on concessions. And so Loyola's thinking, hey, you know, we've contracted out a third party. We need to make something out of this. And so, you know, we allow them to charge $11 because we need to try to make some revenue in order to pay for all of our other sports. And so it's like, hey, this is a revenue. We're going to be sold out. We have 3,300 fans at EIU, which again, really casts a big shadow to the folks down the L on the red line with only 900 folks that show up at the Wind Trust. You know, we showed up on a weeknight, 3,300. And so they're going to charge $11 for beer. Yeah, I get it. It sucks, but it's like, that's what it is. So
no, that's a good point. Yeah. They're not making money so much on ticket sales. And this is the one probably a revenue stream, and they do have some choice though. I'm sure they were presented with different options. You can make this amount of profit for this amount or this amount. And I would like maybe some surge pricing, like maybe when I go on a Wednesday night, it's a little cheaper, maybe. How about that?
Yeah.
I know that they I know that they have something now, like some food deals maybe during the week. So how about that? Or how about those December games when there's no students? How about give me a break on the beer price?
Yeah.
That's what I would like.
I totally get it.
All right.
I totally get it.
Let's get to the last topic here. We got two more topics. So the Dauber Heisman Watch, for lack of a better
word. I want to rename this.
What are you going to call it?
Makes people think football. I'm going to go Dauber Dog. D-A-W-G. Dauber Dog.
Dauber Dog.
I just like the alliteration.
Okay.
Of that,
okay. Like, All right. We're going to call it the Dauber Dog. This is going to be a season war award for, for, you know, this is going to be like the season hammer award. It's going to be for heart and hustle. It's probably going to be a player coming off the bench for a starter to really take over this award. That wouldn't quite be fair. So it's going to be a guy who's going to be a contributor, who's going to be a dog. And I have news. We said that preseason I had Greg Dolan at the top of the list. Well, he has been supplanted. He has been supplanted. Number one in the Dauber Dog race right now, dog, D-A-W-G, like that dog mentality, is like Patrick Mwamba. He has Mwamba mentality. He's leapfrogged over Greg Dolan, and he is now number one. Number two is a starter, Miles Rubin. And he's going to be there because he's proving himself. And again, this is the guy that I want to get the jersey for. This is the guy I'm rooting for. Miles could win me over. I'm telling you, if Miles starts showing out, starts hustling, getting blocks, you're not going to see a bigger Miles Rubin fan than me.
I agree. I think if he just keeps blocking, like, you know, what did he have? He had four blocks the other night. Oh, my gosh. That's just phenomenal.
Yeah. I love blocks. I love blocks. So that's right now the race right now. You got Patrick Mwamba, number one, who, by the way, I looked at his stats. Mwamba gets 11 points against Eastern, and he gets 6 against FAU and plays 16 minutes against FAU and 15 against EIU. So in 30 minutes of work, he gets some buckets, some big plays, and so that's why he's at the top.
6 of 7 from free throws.
That too.
Yes.
That too. We need that.
He was not afraid to drive to the basket and get fouled. As the play, as you called out, it's like, that was phenomenal.
And we got all excited about Tyson Bagent when he scored his first touchdown or had a first down, and he was telling the fans to cheer. Patrick Mwamba does the same thing. There were a couple times where he's telling the crowd to get into this, and his level of intensity is very high. So he's definitely dog intensity.
Yes.
I'm excited. And he's from the Congo too, and I got a good friend from the Congo also. So I'm going to try to get my buddy to go to a game with me. So we can have a little Congo celebration. Maybe we'll get the Congo flag out. So, and I love that. Yeah. So I that's something we're going to going to try to make happen. I'm going to try to meet him this year. I don't typically try to meet guys, but I'm going to definitely try to meet Patrick Mwamba this year.
I think he's got a fascinating story. I think that might be something we might want to try to do as far as two Ramblers. Is it, what's more of these guys' story? I mean, because he went to behind UT Arlington.
Behind the music. Behind the herd court.
And, you know, now he's at Loyola. So it's like, yeah, what's his story? I would fascinate.
All right. Looking ahead to UIC New Orleans, any thoughts? Are we going to be 3-1 next week when we do this podcast?
I think so. I did a KenPom research before we jumped on, and just as frame of reference for everybody, KenPom I really like. FAU is ranked at 33. Loyola's at 80.
I thought Loyola went up a little bit after this week.
I glanced on it right at the moment.
Okay, I thought they were like 72 now or something, but you're right.
It could be, but 80, 72 to 80, somewhere in that range. So frame of reference, EIU is at 340. So not a great opponent, but okay, fine. It's a get-right game. UIC coming up, they're at 207. New Orleans is at 295. So again, I think these are games that we should win. I don't think they'll be as definitive wins as EIU, but I think again, if the team progresses as they have been, I think we could see that, you know, we get another 20 point wins. And then another frame of reference, as always, where's DePaul at? They're at 170. So I don't know how that is ranked, because they are a dumpster fire, and I don't know how they're not below 200, but still, because they've lost two games now and have not looked really that competitive. But I did want to bring up something, a stat that I saw fascinating, and a reason why, hey, this is moving forward of like one thing to look at, is I was watching games at the same time as Loyola versus EIU. Was it George Washington played William & Mary? That's a school down in my area. That's where my wife went to graduate school. They won by like 6, but had a disparity of, they made 25 more free throws than William & Mary, George Washington, did. And it was just kind of like, what in the world? And it's like, was still the thing that we struggled with last year. And then I saw another game, St. Louis barely beat Illinois State by like 8 points. And again, the disparity was they had 26 more free throw points than Illinois State. And just like, oh my gosh. And then the last point, I watched, my wife is a graduate of Dayton, so they played Northwestern on Friday night. So I watched a little bit of that game, and I saw, I was like, hey, Dayton may not be as good as they were last year. And if we improve, it's like, I think this is, I really speaks to the fact that I think we've improved to the point that I think we can compete with them. I think we can be on the court with them and show that, hey, we're not going to be somebody that's just going to be blown out. Like
we did get to overtime with them last year.
We did. But then when they came to Loyola, they really made it look like, oh boy, we shouldn't even be on the same court. And so I don't think that will be the case come March.
A couple of things to just clean up from last week. Caleb Reese is from Warren, Michigan. I said he was from Ferndale. That's where Trey is from.
Our buddy Pastor Jim was not too fond of that.
Yeah. So, and I already said Manimal, Philip Alston, when I don't have the sample. I said he did not redshirt his sophomore year, according to his mother.
Yes. Dimitri, hello, shout out.
Who always, you know, puts memes instead of words to let you know you're wrong.
I love her meme game. She is off the hook. Especially, you know what? You know, shout out to Demetria for her, you know, Halloween outfit. I thought she was on point with the 90s, you know, rapper. That was was good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I also, Dauber, you know, mea culpa, I realized I made a comment last week about the academic world, that, you know, those that have an undergrad degree and a graduate degree from the same university, not as well thought upon. That doesn't quite bode well in the financial world. Most people don't care about it. It's more of in the academic world. So like history, that kind of stuff. You want to have, you know, multiple degrees from other institutions to provide a more rounded education. That's what I was.
Someone
going
have
for.
A big problem with that? Or?
Yes, our certain fan who loves Braden Norris, and he called me out on it, and I was like, "You're right."
Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, hey.
Apologize to our friend.
Hey, while we're doing shout-outs,
shout outs, a great voice, by the way.
Shout out to Susan Hanna, who hooked me up with these tickets to the Wintrust game.
Yes. Yes. She, thank you, Susan.
She and her husband, I don't think, could go. And I got a DM that that she had these tickets open, and I was free, and my dad was free, so we were able to go to the game. Thanks so much for that. I am continuing the Dauber Vagabond Tour this year.
The Rambler Tour?
I'm sorry, the Dauber Rambler Tour. I cannot go to UIC due to work. But I do have a free Saturday coming up, New Orleans. So if any two Ramblers fans have an extra ticket and want to experience Dauber at a game, feel free to DM us at Two Ramblers or DM Dauber at Matt Dobschutz. Happy to go with. And if you can't use your tickets, let me know. I only have a couple more games this year that I don't have tickets for. So once we get into conference play, I have all the tickets that I can use, and so that's fine. But if some of these early games you got plans, or you're traveling and you don't have a sign girl,
you don't have your tickets.
Tickets. She has tickets.
I mean, can't use her tickets.
Right. I don't think sign girl can get me into the student section. That's not going to work.
That would be awesome. Though.
It would be. By the way, did you hear the audio from the EIU game? A couple of the bros in the Wolf Pack were very loud.
I did see the halftime spot with the guys behind them, and like, oh boy.
All right. So anyway, and they were chanting for Caleb Reese to get in the game, which was kind of funny. They're like, Caleb. I think we had like a 15 or 20 point lead, and they're like, put in Caleb. This is like the beginning of the second half or something. It was like, so
come on, guys.
And Caleb got in. Did he score? Caleb Reese? EIU?
He did. He got 2 points.
All right. Congratulations, Caleb, the pride of Warren, Michigan.
Outside of Detroit.
Yes. All right. Well, hey, so final thoughts. Dauber needs a ticket for New Orleans. Anything else from you?
Excited for what this week will bring.
Well, you've been listening to the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, where, what is it, old guys? I don't even know what it is. Where
two middle-aged guys.
Middle-aged guys. Yeah, middle-aged guys.
Listening to Buick. Listen to Steve Dahl and Gary Meyer and something.
No. It was middle-aged guys talk Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective. For the analyst with the attention to detail, Sammy D, I'm the host with the jokes, Dauber, saying so long from Skokie, Illinois, and from West Virginia.
Chesapeake, Virginia. I'm not West Virginia.
Go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers.